thinking like you move for nothing. It has a sort of referential things that people have. But it's just like all the book of messages, you know, visions and visions of speech and energy and all that. So it's not the book that requires so much. And it's very easy. That are not kings, but for the sake of people, just wasn't even talked about me and the idea again. Yes, why is that? But one of the chapters there is that the very first commission and all that stuff. I'm not being at all. Let's see how it goes. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, say, shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before him. Now, just think in our mind, when we say, I will not blot out, we think there can be a blotting out. Rather than see the assurance of what you see, we are seeing the possibility of you breathing. I would have thought that this is an assurance of salvation. I will not cut out your name. I thought that should have got a love and mentality of what God will do. And that word I can't is OU, not okay, the negation. I will not cut out. It's taken from FE, the Greek OU is the word, FE, which is negation, low. It won't happen. So it's an impossibility there. Okay? Is that okay?
Yes,
so there is that overcome Now, to understand overcoming, I want you to take John's book. What he wants before now. Okay, and understand John's meaning of overcoming. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It's the word nikaos, the Greek N-I-K-A, means to conquer. And how did John say we overcome? By being born of God. How did you say you are born of God? By faith. 1 John 5:1. Who is that is born of God? He that believes. First of all, you are blooded children and have overcome them. For greater is he that is where? In he that is in the world. So, again, overcoming their relationship to salvation, faith in Christ and them. So, when you hear the word of overcoming, you can get it. And he was overcoming then when he was writing the counsel. Now, I will not be cut out the word exhalate for remove from E-S-A-L-E-I-P-H-O. E-S-A-L-E-I-P-H-O. Acts 3:19. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. First time you see it. Use for salvation. Colossians 2:14. Put it out and write it for ordinary that were against us. It was comfort for us and power. Then Revelation 7:17. And wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So, when it says, I will not blot out your name, okay, if we ever find anything that is so that the Bible, our name, look at the Old Testament, okay? Most of them have said, all these people have seen this and have been very important. Yet now, we now will put it there. But give not, trust me, I pray. umthetho lo lisimbalisi hayi o
things which were written in this book.
I don't want to find that way. Look at this. What it is I take away is part is the word meros. Meros. That I take away is part. So we just add to this movie. Okay? The add that I take away is part. Then, notice, out of the book of life, I now mention the Holy Spirit. It is in no way talking about the Lord of God. Meros refers to something that belongs to you that you should have. It can take away his path. You should have to go further than it takes to talk about his own. So, you know, you need to have taken away his name. Are you following? You don't have any name things. That name is Mark. So, he's Mark. And what Mark is Eros, something that should be lost in one. Like, you should store properties for land in the enemies, for things like that. I'm taking away his Mark. From, not like when, that said, you have no Mark for love. No Mark for love. This Mark. You have no share. It's always referred to something like an inheritance. And then a reward, something that's like a man, a property, that you need to make what that you want to be there. You know, like just like when the pulled out something, gave me my own parts, and he's divided into parts. That's what he's saying. It's not about his name in the book of life. Now look at Luke 10:20. Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you in heaven. Is that clear? Now, the word written is the word graphe or grapho. You all know that. This one is written in heaven. It's egrapho, to inscribe. It's used in those days to write names on city walls of those who are citizens or, nobles. So it would to be written in a location, in the place. Just like in Nigeria, you have things like Tafa Balewa Square, written in someone's name. That is egrapho, that is the names were inscribed for people to see. So it says, your names are written in heaven. Same thing in 2 Corinthians 3, 2-3, you are our epistles. People have said things like that. You are epistles written by us. 2 Corinthians 3, you are epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You are the epistle of Christ. So it's the same thing he's saying there, written. Philippians 4:3. This is talking about believers. He says, and I entreat thee, truth, yoke, fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and all my laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are written in the book of life. To be enrolled, written in. Again, the word in heaven, is part of heaven. In Christ, Christ in, same word, part of heaven. Hebrews 12:23. Hebrews 12:23. To the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, enrolled. That one is apographo. Now we have egrapho, inscribed like in a city. Apographo, A-P-O, then grapho, is used for census. When names are taken. Who are those who are here? Who are those in this place? Then they now take the names. So it says, which are written in heaven. So that means, why he used that, is taking a census of those who have believed. He says they have been brought into account in heaven. You know, before now, they were expecting. Do you understand? They were expecting Old Testament. Now, their names are now taken
into account. Apographo, taking into account. It's used for census. It was used when Jesus' earthly mother, that's Mary, when they went to take census. Luke 21. Luke 2, verse 1, 3, and 5. Luke 2, verse 1, 3, and 5. You know, they went back. You know, they had gone to Egypt. Remember? No. When, that was a mistake. When he was to be born, okay, Luke 2, look like that, and then during the birth, and so there was a lot of traffic in the city, and Mary was pregnant. Luke 2, 1, 3, and 5, there was, you know, a census, they wanted to take tax from people, say, okay, who are people living here? So, he's saying that, Hebrews 12:23 says, if we are looking at those who are in heaven, okay, we are taking these people in account. Okay, so that's the other way we have word written in heaven. So we don't have any, the only thing we have about the book of life is an assurance that anyone who is born again, his name will not be blotted out. That is just as clear as that is. Look at 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Verse 19. Pay attention to this one very well. John is saying, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Now, the first thing about this is that it's not about any moral issue. So don't ever read morality into what he's saying. So, well, if you see, if that person was a true Christian, he would not be doing those kind of things. Of course, a Christian should not be walking in sin and living in sin. But that's not what he's talking about. It's not morality. He said they went out from us. The question is, who are the us? Ammon. Ammon in the Greek is a specific set of people. So, he says they went out from us. If they had been of us, they would have remained where you have Meno. But they were made manifest, okay? That is Phanero, P-H-A-N-E, those are words you already know. P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O. It was now made clear that they were not of us. For example, let me show you an example of where Paul said the same thing. 1 Corinthians 11. And I am too convinced, you know, that this is not a text about people not being saved. No, it's not. It appears like that in first reading. Okay, he's talking about those that if they are Christian, that Christians will not have gone out the way they did. But it doesn't. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. You know, he had said earlier that some people were working as mere men. Why? Because there were divisions. Right? Some say I'm of Paul, others say I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. And he says that you work as mere men, 1 Corinthians 3, 3 and 4. Now look at what he says here. He says in verse 18, first of all, when you come together, 1 Corinthians 11, in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be, watch this, there must be heresies among you, which is the word divisions, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, these are believers. That they which are approved, that is those that are accepted with us, that we have tested, that these are quality disciples. He says they will be made manifest. That is, those things now make things clear that that faction has it. Because it's trying to say that it has a positive light that we now know those who are approved of us. So it is in tandem with what John said that they went out from us. They went. Now the question will be this, because it's more like people that left their company. Just like he said, Demas has forsaken me for this present world. He didn't say Demas is no longer a believer. Do you understand? Is that clear? That's 2 Timothy 4:10. He has forsaken me for this present world. Now, go back to 1 John 2. That they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. It's a very tricky text. Because of the pretext and the post-text, obviously, he was referring to, in verse 18, the Antichrist. He says, little children, it is the last time that you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now, as there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Okay, that's 18. Now, from 22, who is a liar? But he that denies Jesus is the Christ, is Antichrist, that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. And it says in verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, that which you have heard from beginning. Okay? If that you have heard from beginning, that shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and but the anointing of Jesus of him abides in you, pardon me, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same man, anointing teaches of all things, and his truth, and is no lie, and even as has taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, let you abide in him, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. So, it's a very unclear text. Obviously, he's talking about doctrine. That, you see, they were with us, but they left. Now, we have instances where people departed from the company. For example, look at Acts 20:28. It says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, that you feed the flock, the church of God, which he purchased with the blood of his own. He said, after my departure, shall grievous wolves arise and enter into the flock. Grievous wolves. He says, and not sparing the flock. And of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Perverse things. Now that perverse thing is used for perverse generation. It's used for those who have been perverted in their ways. It's another way of talking about wicked things. Now, the people he's referring to, were they believers? Not the first set of wolves, though. We don't know who those ones are. But the second set of your own selves, that is amongst you, whom the Holy Ghost has made overseers, shall men do what? Draw disciples, speaking perverse things. So it means that we can find wrong doctrines with somebody who was genuinely called to the ministry. Is that clear? Are you following what I'm saying? Now, can we say that this set can be part of those who were with us and then they went out from amongst us, that it might be made better than us? It's very possible. Right? It's very possible. Because what we're talking about in 1 John 2:19 is doctrine. Right? Am I talking to anybody here? So, does it look alike? Eh? What is scaring you is the Antichrist part. Eh? Is that what is scaring you? Is the Antichrist part. Well, we don't know how perverse the Acts people are. We don't know. We're not told. But say, perverse things. Used for wicked things. You know? 2 Timothy 2:18, those who said, for example, that the resurrection is past. That may not be as perverse, but they said the resurrection is past. 2 Timothy 2:18. And overthrow the faith of some. So it had the capacity of overthrowing people's faith. Who concern the truth I've heard. Okay? Not like the Pharisees. So he said, so definitely, again, this is about doctrine. A truth. 1 Corinthians 15, like the other brother was asking, 1 Corinthians 15:12, there is no resurrection of the dead. These are believers. Romans 16:17, Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. This text is not, it can be applied to a believer and a non-believer. Are you following? Are you following this? Philippians 3. So can a believer preach a false doctrine? Ah, enough. Abi? Philippians 3:19. Whose end is destruction? Who are these people? Verse 18. Many walk of whom I told you often and now tell you even with weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. These are believers. Okay? They are believers. When he says the law of Moses is the root of all evil, which some have heard from the faith. Are those ones believers? You can't err from the faith if you are not a Christian. They are not unbelievers. They just erred. Are you there? I think we shared this in Tokyo Chapter 3. Is it 3 or 4? 3. Huh? About what can happen to believers. Their faith can be overthrown. What else? Their conscience can be seared. What else? They can fall from grace. They can fall from grace. They can be shipwrecked, but they are saved. So the question is, can a believer be antichrist? Okay, let me ask you. Can a believer teach the law of Moses? When Paul sent anybody to Ephesus to stop the mouths of folks, were they Christians he was going to stop? Okay. Those guys who opposed Paul and Barnabas, were they believers? They were. That's serious. So what they were saying is not antichrist. Of course, it's different from what we're saying here, but it's not antichrist. The people who wanted to finish Paul in Acts 22, were they Christians? They were believers. Those who had believed. He said those of the Pharisees said who had believed. Right? So it's a little bit shaky. Why? Because of what he explained the things they were saying. Now, to deny, go back to 1 John 2. To deny that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Antichrist, that denies the Father and the Son. That's strong. So, verse 23, whoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. So that is, if he had not mentioned this in verse 22, we would have said they were Christians. But 22 puts us on the spot. Can they be believers and deny that Jesus is the Christ? But one thing is clear, when he says they went out from amongst us, that is, he's talking about a company. That is, they were with us before, they are no longer with us. So we have, you know, but there's something anyway that I will say here, and maybe I'll address it. There was an air of absoluteness John used that tends to let us see that they were not believers. But we're not sure. Obviously, you know, he makes a decision in verse 20 when he says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You know, so obviously he's talking to believers there. So we are not too clear of who he's referring to. But definitely he's not referring to, it's not a general, those are the kind of things that are written in the epistles. It's not a general statement. It's a specific statement referring to people that the audience knew about. Do you understand? He just did not mention their name. Do you get it? So, we can classify this as an historical fact. That one must be careful to apply doctrine. Now look at something he said later. Third John 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and are not content with, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So, obviously, this is he mentioned this one's name. This one is a Christian. Alright? Because he mentions him and in the church. Obviously, he's a guy who had preeminence. He was a leader. But he was a fellow that was not accountable and didn't honor the apostles. That's what he had. But, so, in this case, he mentioned a name. But he didn't mention 1 John 2. And that is what, for example, if I mentioned a name, it would have been easier to look at. But obviously, his audience knew he was talking about a set of people. Let me see if you get what I'm saying. Are you following what I'm saying? But that set of people we don't know. Because he didn't know we were going to read those letters, so he didn't mention the names. But the audience knew the people he was talking about. For example, when Paul was writing to Galatians and said that some people came from Jerusalem, they knew the people now. They knew them. You know, and they came to oppose what he was teaching, knew them. So it's a bit shaky. You know, very shaky. Okay, get back to the book of Revelation one more time. Let's just see. I'll just do a short summary for you then. We're not taking long in this session. Just very short. For example, when, you know, Revelation talks about the angel. Angels of the seven churches. Revelation 1:20. Is the word angelo. Is also used for messengers. You see it in Matthew 11:10. So angelo can be used for men. Can be used for other people apart from the angels of God. I send my messenger before thy face, and that is John the Baptist. Matthew 11:10. 2 Corinthians 12:9. The angel of Satan, obviously a spiritual entity. Sorry, 12:7. So from 2:1-2:3, when he was talking about the angel, he obviously was not referring to angels as servants. In the context of spiritual beings, he was referring to angels in the light of the messenger of the churches, which some have classified to be the pastors or the leaders. Others have said, no, it's those that he sent the message through. Very possible. That is, he had people, you know, because he was the other pastors, he now sent the letters through people to seven churches in different locations. So he said to the angel, say this to these people. So obviously, he wrote things down for them to say, you know, by the caregimer, that is to say by preaching. Is that clear? Are you following that? Not an angel being of a church. Obviously, that's not it. So, now, one thing I want us to look at is that word, he that overcomes. There are two scenarios in the book of Revelation these churches present. Number one, it presents two things. And I want you to think about it before we head to it there later in the year. It picks two scenarios. The first scenario that appears is like he's talking to a church that has a mixed multitude. Very possible. Then also he's talking about rewards, not the loss or otherwise of salvation. Very possible. So have those two in your mind, and I expect you read through. But let's look at, I'll give you a few leads. Revelation 2:7. Do you hear what I just said? Huh? Should I repeat myself? So, now, let's see. I said that there are two scenarios it presents. The first is, it's a church that has, because at that point John was talking, we had the institutional church, that is, we had mixed multitudes. believers were there, non-believers were there. So, obviously, you know, he was speaking in that light. That is, he will now separate the things he said about those who are believers and those who are not believers. That's the first scenario. Are you following this? The second scenario will be, all the things he said are rewards, not a loss of salvation or otherwise. Is that clear now? Okay. Let's read some things that occur. Let me give you a simple Bible study. When you are reading things like this, look at words that kept occurring. A word that kept occurring, in fact, that's the one that occurred the most, is the word overcoming. Am I right? Huh? Revelation 2:7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So the first thing he said, the tree of life, in the midst of the paradise of God. He that overcometh. Nikao, conquer. Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. When you read about the second death later, you discover that he's talking about, we've seen that before, we saw it last week, he was talking about salvation. Right? Okay. 2:17 now. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the eating manna, and will give him a white stone, and in a stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. So, third scenario. The fourth, 26, verse 26. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. I shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken of shivers, even as I have received of my Father. I will give you the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3:5. I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 12. I will make a pillar in the temple of God, of my God. It shall go no more out, and I'll write upon the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. Revelation 5 again. Or 3, sorry. Verse 21. To him I'll grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So you see that there was nothing that was repeated. Right? Right? Now, so you take those words and say, well, were they synonyms of each other? Or were they distinct things? If they were distinct, that would mean he's talking about rewards. Are you following? Do you understand that? Huh? Do you understand that? If they are distinct, that is, they are different things. If the things we just listed here, if they are different, if we can see that they are different, that means he's talking about rewards. He can't be talking about different kinds of salvation. Okay? Or different kind of, you know, eternities, as it were, in that context. Now, but then, are they synonyms of each other? Just like saying this in different ways. Are they for all believers or for some believers? Let's see a few more things. I said those so that you can take note of them. Let's see the things he said to the churches. Verse 14. Revelation 2. No, not 14. Let's start with verse 9. No, not verse 9. Sorry, I'm taking you back. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. proto-agape, the same thing he said, we love him because he first loved us. Remember therefore from where thou hast fallen and repent, and do the works, for else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, etc. Repent. Let me ask you a question. This is, was he talking to individuals or a body? Huh? Was he talking to individuals or a body? Huh? Was it addressing individual believers there? Or the church? Okay, good. Let's take one more step forward. If he's talking to the church, was he referring to the leadership or lead membership or both? Did you say what? Huh? You have no answer. Both. Both. Is there leadership? Now, let's see. Repent for where you are falling. I'll come unto you quickly and remove your candlesticks out of his place, except you repent. And this thou ask, that thou hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. It has a little heart and hair. Let me hear. So he said, the first thing is that you've left your first love. You, that's the church. Now, don't forget, these are definite churches. You don't lead them unto yourselves. Okay? So it goes further to say, for else I will come unto you and quickly, and I will remove thy candlesticks out of his place, except you repent. That's the first scenario. The second set, the church in Smyrna, I know your works. Okay? And tribulation. Okay, let's start from two. Maybe it will make sense. It says, I know your works and your labor and patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you have tried them which they say they are apostles and are not, and you have found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Leadership, membership, or both? Or he's talking to the pastor? Huh? Leadership. Who is the leader? Okay. Same there. I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil cast some of you into prison. Leadership, members, or both? Ah, you are shifting ground. And you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Huh? You are still not sure. Okay, Pergamos. I know your works, and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast my name, and have not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, and taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So as thou also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Are you following? Huh? Leadership, membership, or both? Are you reading this? Huh? Now the judgment here, I will come and remove the candlesticks. Is it at the end of the day or timeline judgment? Huh? Okay, that's why we're not going to this book yet. We are looking like you're confused. Okay, another place. Tatria. I know your works, verse 19, charity, service, faith, patience, works, last to be more than the first. Nonetheless, I have few things against you, because you suffered the woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repents not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. And you know, this is figurative. You think Jezebel lived long to this point? And except they repent of their deeds, I will kill our children with death, and the churches that shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. I say unto you and the rest in Thyatira, as many have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, but they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Membership, leadership, or both? Eh? Okay. Ephesians 3. Sardis. Be watchful. I know your works. Verse 1. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen these things which remain and are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent, if thou shalt not watch. I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 7. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. I'm doing it so that I can create a hunger for the next series. He that openeth and no man shut, and say, I know thy works, behold, I've set before thee an open door. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, to know that I have loved thee. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which thou hast come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and no man takes thy crown. Are you there? Okay? He that overcomes, I'll make a pillar in the temple, and so on and so forth. Like, 14 read that earlier. This thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and thou hast neither cold nor hot. I would that we are cold or hot. That is, take one. Verse 16, Revelation 3. So then, because thou hast lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou said, I'm rich, I'm increasing goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that which thou hast wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye sleep, that thou mayest see. For then as I love, I rebuke, and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Are you there? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into. We'll use this for salvation, but he's not talking about salvation. I will sup with him, and he will with me. To him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down at my Father with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Amen. So, what is consistent? Huh? He overcomes. Is this his salvation? He's looking somehow. Huh? Don't let your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. Okay? Did you notice that there was no single statement on loss of salvation? You can only try to imagine that that's what he's saying. But it doesn't say that. Revelation 12:11 quickly. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, the same word Nikau, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So, we have those shaky facts. Let's see some absolutes. Revelation 1:5. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him glory and dominion forever and ever. Absolute statement, right? Is that absolute? Huh? Ephesians 5, verse 10. He has made us, number 1, verse 9 says, he has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Okay? So, can these things be talking about rewards? Some things will not help. Second death. Because second death is for those whose names are not found in the book of life. Are we right? So that creates the issue. So I'll leave you with that. Did John battle false doctrine? In 1 John, he did, right? In 2 John, he did. 2 John 7, 9 and 10. In fact, verse 8. In 3 John 9 to 10, he also did. Look at 2 John. I'm almost through. Wow, let me run. 2 John. 2 John. Verse 7. Our men is the light of the world, who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which were wrought, but that which will receive a full reward. A full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there anybody comes unto you, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, and neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So it's false doctrine. Look at 8. It says that we receive a full reward. That's the word mistos in the Greek, M-I-S-T-H-O-S, used for salary. Salary. Something that you do when you work. You see the reference, a synonym in 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18. Hallelujah. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3, we read that earlier. Paul was talking about every man's work being made manifest. I spoke about a reward. If a man, verse 15, 1 Corinthians 3, 15, if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, he himself shall be saved, yet as so by fire. So verse 14 here, he shall receive a reward, is the same word mistos. A reward. If his work will remain, but he says it will be burned. Now please pay attention to this and don't lose this. He said it will be burned. The word burned, you know, we were saying the other time that I'll deny you means I'll deny you what should have been given you. The word burned is katakaio in the Greek, K-A-T-A-K-A-I-O. It's the same word used in Matthew 3:12, John the Baptist. That is, he will burn the chaff. He's talking about the baptism of fire. Acts 19:19, those who burn their books, the books of witchcraft. So he's always talking about something that is evil, is not of God. Then he says he will suffer loss. That word loss is Zemio. Z-E-M-I-O-O. Zemio. The verb is passive. Oftentimes used for a punishment, it means to forfeit. You know how you forfeit something? For example, that means something that was yours before. Okay? Then you forfeit. That means this reward ought to have been yours. To suffer loss means you forfeited it. Zemio. It will suffer a forfeiture. When you have forfeiture of assets, something that was yours. That means the reward ought to be yours, but you forfeit it. Is that clear? That is Right, now look at something else. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. He's now talking to the church. Now, his first statement was, let him that builds take heed what he builds upon. So he was talking to ministers. And before then, he said that the church, the believers, are God's house, God's building, God's husbandry. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Please follow this pattern so that you know what he's talking about. And then he says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive you, if any man amongst you be wise in this world. I guess it's verse 18 that made King James had him in verse 17. That verse 17 does not have him. The word destroy is the word plethero, P-H-T-H-E-I-R-O. It means to corrupt. If any man will corrupt the temple of God, good evil communication corrupts good manners. So, who are the temple of God? Believers. That if anyone should corrupt believers, okay, him will God. Now, that word, anyone, is the word T-I-S in the Greek. Is used for things or persons. This will God destroy. Now, it's not difficult to know that he's not talking about persons. Why? He just told you what will be destroyed. What was it? Works. So, say, if anyone builds upon these things, wood, do you understand? That will corrupt the temple, and it will be what? Destroyed. Are you getting that? Is that clear to you? Not persons. Because the persons themselves will be what? Saved. Is it clear? Aha. So he's talking about things. Things that are built upon that are not eternal. That will be tried by fire. Anything that defiles. Okay? So he's talking about works. Build upon. What you build upon to establish, to found, oikodomio in the Greek. That's basically what he's talking about. To build upon. Talking about people's ministry work. That have laid the foundation. Let each man take heed how he builds upon. Talking about teachings, practices like that. Said they defile the temple of God. He said the same will God defile. Okay? That is, it will be destroyed. He's not referring to, what do you call it now? He's not referring to men, but things that are done in the body of Christ. Is that okay? But we'll continue. We'll wrap up tomorrow morning. That's the first service. And I'll just close the teaching for this part of the year. Like I promised you, later in the year, we're going to continue. So this is probably going to be a two set of part five. This is five, right? So we have 5A. We have 5B. They will now go a bit close to that. I'm very looking at that revelation thing. Very, very. But then, for the sake of some of you are thinking, that place is hanging. It shouldn't hang. Nothing should hang at all. This is the way I like to say it was supposed to be. Are you planning? Let's not assume that there could be a loss of salvation, which can never happen. Are you planning to do the things that were said there? Or you are not sure of how things can happen in your life? But really, you shouldn't have any. They're absolutes and then they're variables. And again, one thing about those letters is this. They were written to definite churches. Who are definite judgment calls. Okay? And historically, they have facts about them that can be spoken about. Like I rightly said, John battled false prophets and deceivers at that time and age. And these folks were within the church system. Okay? And there were things that he said that related to these same people. Is that okay? Is that fair? Alright, see you tomorrow.